Guilt. Do you have any? Probably. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Some of you are so guilt-ridden over something you did so long ago. Or maybe it was just last night, and you have such guilt, and you've confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed, and you still wear guilt like a heavy coat. Listen, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 is true. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation, not a speck. God doesn't hold sin over your head. I don't have to live in guilt and shame.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from His heart.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Listen, do you remember the story of Hester Prynne in Nathaniel Hawthorne's book, The Scarlet Letter? Her character has been called one of the most important female heroines in American literature. The irony of that praise is that she committed adultery and was made to wear a big scarlet A on her dress so that everyone she came in contact with would know her as an adulteress. Of course, the way Hester Prynne felt is the way a lot of people live, under a heavy cloud of guilt, shame, and condemnation. If that describes you today, God has a special message of grace, love, and life-changing power for you. The message today is entitled, Did No One Condemn You? It's from Pastor Jeff Shreve's series, Cross-Examination, Questions from the King. Now, this may be a message that truly impacts you, or maybe a friend. If so, you may want to go to fromhisheart.org after we're through today and download a free MP3 of this broadcast to share with someone else. Just click the radio tab. First, though, open your Bible and let's get started in John chapter 8. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with words from the mouth of Jesus. Did no one condemn you?
Now, as we study today this passage, I want us to think in terms of this question. What does God want to teach us about condemnation? Those people were condemning her, but Jesus did not condemn her. What does God want to teach us about condemnation? That word in the Greek, to condemn, is katakrino. It means to judge against, to sentence, to damn. So what is there to learn? Three truths. Truth number one, religious people love to condemn others. They love to do that. Now, here's the story. Jesus is teaching, and there was a big crowd in the temple listening to him. And then all of a sudden, he's interrupted. And the scribes and the Pharisees come in, the religious leaders. They come in, and they're dragging this woman. And she's scared to death, and she's crying, and she's trying to cover her face. And they throw her in the midst of where Jesus was teaching. And they tell Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. The scripture says that they wanted to find grounds for accusing him. Now, if he said, stone her, well, that would just freak out the people. They would say, well, I don't understand. This is totally different than what you've been teaching. So he couldn't say that on one hand, but if he said, don't stone her, he would be going against Moses. Now, you can't go against Moses and be a teacher in accordance with the Old Testament, in accordance with the law. And so they just knew they had Jesus. If he said, yes, stone her, he's in trouble. If he said, no, don't stone her, he's in bigger trouble. They were looking for grounds that they might accuse him. See, they didn't really care about the woman. All they cared about was trapping Jesus. Why did they want to trap Jesus so bad? Because they hated him. Religious people, they love to condemn others. Truth number two, everyone is deserving of condemnation. Now, this is something that will help you if you're struggling with being a self-righteous, pious, religious person. Hey, you know what? You're deserving of stoning. It's not just the woman caught in adultery. It's you. Verse 6 says, and they were saying this to him. Lord, what do you say? They were saying this to him, testing him in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. Wrote on the ground. That's interesting, isn't it? He just stoops down and he starts to write. He wrote with his finger on the ground. They were trying to pin Jesus on the horns of a dilemma, and it related to the law. The law was written by the finger of God on tablets of stone. I think he's saying, you guys don't even know who you're dealing with here. I wrote the law with my finger. And you're trying to trap me in what I wrote. I am Almighty God. Verse 7, it says, he straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And as Jesus said that, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone, got quiet. And all of a sudden you started to hear. As they dropped their stones, you heard the thuds of the stones. And they began to file out of the temple, the older ones first, and then the younger ones. The older ones were more aware of their sinfulness. They had lived longer, and they were aware that they weren't without sin. See, Jesus was trying to teach that no one's without sin, and all of us deserve the judgment of God. Everybody. Hey, the scripture says in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we've not sinned, we call God a liar because God says, yeah, you have sinned. And every sinner is under the judgment of God. Those people started to realize, hey, I deserve stoning too. I can't throw a stone at her because I'd be throwing it back at me. All of us deserve God's judgment. People don't understand that today. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, big shot, little shot. We all deserve to be shot because we're all sinners. We're all under the judgment of God as sinners. And see, the Pharisees kept trying to come on their own righteousness. That's what made them so rotten inside, because they were so filled with self-righteous pride. God hates that. All of us deserve God's judgment. Hey, when you realize that, it softens your heart. You know what? Because you see yourself as Isaiah saw himself. Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm in trouble here because I'm a sinner. The Pharisees never liked to call themselves sinners. They never liked to think about themselves as sinners. The sinners were the tax collectors, were the prostitutes. They're the bad people. We're not sinners. We're Pharisees. We're Sadducees. We're religious leaders. We're members of First Baptist Church. I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I sing in the choir. So what? You're a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Softens your heart. Oh God, have mercy on me. But not only when you understand you're a sinner, not only does it soften your heart toward God, it softens your heart toward other people. Because you say, there but for the grace of God go I. I remember talking to a friend of mine. He called me up one day and he said, will you have lunch with me? This was years ago in a different city, and I had lunch with him. And he was so worried and so fearful. And I said, what is wrong? And he said, Jeff, I had an affair on my wife and she found out about it. And he said, I'm so afraid of losing my family, losing my wife and losing my kids. And I looked at him. And when I looked at him, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Jeff, you see that man? You see that man with tears in his eyes? You see that man who's shattered and broken? He said, that is you if you get your eyes off of me. I felt compassion for my friend. And I hurt for my friend. What he did was wrong. But he didn't need for me to throw a stone at him. He needed for me to love him and to encourage him. Some of you today, you have a stone in your hand towards some person who hurts you. Maybe it's toward your mom or your dad, who were terrible parents. You said, what they did to me was wrong. Yeah, but you got this stone in your hand. You're ready to fling it at them. You got a stone in your hand toward that spouse who betrayed you and left you for another. And you got the stone in your hand toward that teacher who hurt you and made fun of you when you were in her class, and it's bothered you, and that was 50 years ago, and you still can remember it like it was yesterday because you've never let go of that stone, and you want to throw that stone at them. Stones need to be thrown at you, too. You need to let the stone go. You need to drop it. Let it go. Everyone is deserving of condemnation. And truth number three, Jesus offers us undeserved forgiveness. Look in verse 9. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone and the woman where she had been in the midst. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? And she said, "No one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." Everyone's gone. It's just Jesus and the woman. Jesus didn't have to leave. He was without sin among them. He could have condemned her. He asks her, "Where are they? Is there no one here to condemn you?" She says, "No one, Lord." He looks at her with compassion. There she is. Picture her in your mind's eye. She's there on the ground. Her dress is all wrinkled. Her hair is all disheveled. There are tear stains all over her cheeks. Her nose has been running because she's been crying. And she's quivering and she's so afraid. And she's there at the feet of Jesus. And she's just waiting to be killed, to be stoned for her sin. And she deserves it. "Did no one condemn you?" "No, Lord." She doesn't try and justify it. She doesn't try and say, "Well, no, Lord, because let me tell you why they don't condemn me. Because this was all a plan. This was all a plot. And they were in on it. And they set this trap for me. And I know about this stuff. And let me tell you something. It wasn't my fault. And I wasn't really the one that was doing all this stuff." She doesn't do any of that. She doesn't try to justify anything she did. She just says, "No one, Lord. No one, Lord." The scripture doesn't say this, but I know the heart of God. And I believe that when Jesus looked at her, I believe he took her chin and put his hands under her chin and looked into her face and said, "Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you." He could have, but he didn't. Why? Because he's not in the business of condemning. Jesus came to save us. He didn't come to condemn us. Look what he said in John chapter 3, verse 17. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." In Luke chapter 9, they were going. He had his face set like a flint to go to Jerusalem. And as they were passing through Samaria, he sent James and John to a Samaritan village because they wanted to go through that village. And the Samaritan said, "No, he can't come through here." And James and John come back to Jesus. And they said, "They won't let us come through there, Jesus. Do you want us to call down from heaven fire to come and consume them?" Jesus said, "James and John," they're called the sons of thunder. "James and John, you don't know what spirit you're of." And he said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 56, "For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to destroy you. He didn't come to smash you. He came to save you.
While Jesus didn't come to destroy, but to save, you cannot say that about evil that is in our world today. Christianity is facing great challenges from a secular culture that doesn't want to be told of their sin and refuses to receive the grace of God's forgiveness. One of the reasons they refuse the truth is because they don't know the truth. They've been fed lies about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and so much more. They just can't grasp the truth. Well, Pastor Jeff Shreve can help by giving them the truth about God with his timely series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. It's our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. It's available on CDs, DVDs, an MP3 download, or as a USB flash drive for your gift of any amount. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. And know that when you support From His Heart, you are helping us to take blinders off people's eyes and hearts and learn to trust God and His amazing grace. Again, the number 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org and request the Perspective series when you make your gift. Now let's find out the answer to this question. Why is Jesus able to forgive us when we simply don't deserve it? Here's Pastor Jeff.
Flip Wilson, the comedian of yesteryear, used to always say, "God'll get you for that." Remember that? "God'll get you for that." Walk around scared all the time. "God's going to get me." Why? "Because I had an extra piece of pie. God's going to get me for that. Because I lusted in my heart. God's going to get me for that." Listen, God doesn't want to get you. God wants to grace you. God wants to bless you. God is a good God. He wants to forgive you. He came to save and he came to set you free. Set you free. That's what he wanted to do for that woman, to set her free. Look what the scripture says in Isaiah 61 and verse 1. This is what Jesus read in the Gospels when he started his earthly ministry. He read from Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And that's what he came to do, to let the prisoners free. And Jesus wants to free you. Free you from what? Free you from your sins and from the penalty of your sin. See, neither do I condemn you. You know, it would be nice, and we like to think about the Lord forgiving our sin. Like, man, that's just cool. You just come before Jesus and say, yeah, Lord, I did it. I was wrong. And boy, he just, it's all forgiven. And we get the idea that forgiveness is just so easy. It's just so minor. No. You know how the Lord can say, neither do I condemn you? Because he condemned himself. Salvation is a free gift, but it's not a cheap gift. It cost the Lord to be able to say, neither do I condemn you, because sin has to be paid for. God is a master accountant, and at the end of it all, his books are going to balance. And you mark it down, your sins will either be pardoned in Christ or they'll be punished in hell, but they'll be paid for, every single one of them. And the Lord says, I died for that sin. And I came to free you from that sin. And that's why in the garden he was sweating blood. And he kept praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And when he went to the cross and they nailed him to the cross, he cried out and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And all of your sin and all of my sin and all of the sin of the whole world was put upon Jesus. That's how he can say, neither do I condemn you, because he condemned himself. And because of that, we can be free from the penalty of sin. And we can be free from the power of sin and the guilt and the shame of sin. He wants to free you from that. Some of you are here and you are so guilt-ridden over something you did so long ago. Or maybe it was just last night and you have such guilt and you've confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and you still wear guilt like a heavy coat. Listen, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 is true. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation, not a speck. God doesn't hold sin over your head. There's forgiveness with him that he may be feared. And so he sets me free from that. I don't have to live like that in guilt and shame and condemnation. I can give up my scarlet A and say, Lord, you've cleansed me of all that. That's all under your blood. And I don't have to live in guilt and shame. That's what Jesus told that prostitute in Luke 7. Your faith has saved you. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace, not go away in guilt. He came to free us from guilt and shame. And he came to free us from worthless living. See, he says to that woman, not what she did was right. Not, hey, that's no big deal that you were caught in adultery. You know, just have at it again. He says, no. He says, go your way from now on, sin no more. What you were doing was worthless. You are living a life of emptiness. And some of you are living that same life. You are following after drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality and trying to just make a bunch of money and you're sacrificing everything to do it. The scripture says in Jeremiah 2, if you walk after emptiness, you'll find emptiness and your heart will become empty. And the Lord says, that's worthless living. From now on, go and sin no more. I don't want you to do that because that's going to hurt you and that's going to damage you, because you're not going to find satisfaction in adultery and in sin. Josh McDowell talks about freedom. And he said this, true freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do. It's the ability to do what you ought to do. And that's what the Lord gives you, power over sin in your life so that you can do what you ought to do. And when you do what you ought to do, you'll find joy and peace and satisfaction, because that comes when you follow after God. Listen, maybe you're here today and you can just relate to the woman caught in adultery, because that's you. That's you. You've been caught in sin and you feel just like she felt. You just feel so distant from the Lord and you just feel like the stones are going to come at any moment. And you do feel like Hester Prynne. You say, what do I do about it? Let me close with this story. Max Lucado, in his book, No Wonder They Call Him the Savior, shares about a mom and her daughter. The mom, Maria, and little Christina, they lived in a village in Brazil, some miles from the big city of Rio. And when Maria was married, her husband died early on in their marriage, and she had this little baby, Christina, and Christina was a beautiful girl. And as Christina grew up and grew older, she was much different from her mother. She didn't want to be a wife and mom. She wanted to find herself, and she wanted to go to the big city. And her mother was afraid because she sensed in her heart, if Christina goes to the big city the way she looks and not having any skills for the job market, I just fear she'll end up on the streets. But Christina was stubborn. And one night while her mother was asleep, she left the village and left her home and went to the big city. Her mother woke up the next day and saw her bed empty. Her heart sank and she said, oh no, she's gone to the big city. And so she gathered up her overnight bag and she got some possessions and she got as much money as she could. And she bought a bus ticket to go to Rio to try and find her daughter. But before she got on that bus, she went to the drugstore and she got in a little photo booth and she took pictures of herself, as many as she could afford, black and white pictures. And she got those and she put those in her bag. And she went to Rio and she just said, I know my daughter is going to end up on the streets. And so she went to every place where she thought a prostitute would hang out. She went to flea bag hotels and she went to nightclubs and she went to bars. And in all those places, she would put her picture on the bathroom mirror. She would put her picture on in the lobby of the hotel on the bulletin board. She would put it on the mirrors and in phone booths. And on the back of her picture, she would write a note. She looked and looked and looked for her daughter, Christina, and she couldn't find her. Finally, her money ran out and she had to go home. And she got on that bus just heartsick and heartbroken. She couldn't find Christina. Weeks passed. And one morning, Christina walked down the steps of a flea bag hotel. The spark was gone from her eyes. Her dreams had turned to nightmares. And she thought about all the sin that was in her life. And she thought about all the many beds that she had been in and how she would trade all those beds for her bed back home in her village. But she said, it's too far away. It's too distant. I've done too many horrible things. I can't go back. And as she was walking through that hotel lobby, she saw on the mirror picture of her mother. Her throat tightened and her eyes started to well up with tears. And she pulled that picture off the mirror and turned it over. And on the back it said this, whatever you've done, whatever you become, doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. Did you know that the Bible is God's picture book? Every page of the Bible is a picture of the Lord. And on the back of that picture it says, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've become, it doesn't matter. I still love you. Please come home.
Listen, walking by faith, especially that first step into the water, can be a tough one to make. Perhaps you simply don't think you have it in you to take that step. Maybe you have questions about who Jesus really is and how much does he really love you. Well, we have a section, a special one, on our homepage called Why Jesus that'll give you answers to that and many, many other questions. And there you can read, listen to, and watch materials from Pastor Jeff that'll answer those important questions. Again, it's the Why Jesus tab on our homepage, fromhisheart.org. Well, I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you so much for being here, and we trust that today's message was a blessing to you and that you'll join us again next time, when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from his heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is hope that you always dream of. He can heal every scar. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.